What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
And lo and behold, yeah, we met Zach Wilson's father-in-law.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson sucks.
No, stop. See, not today.
I didn't say that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did many times. I don't know if he knew my Zach Wilson take.
No, he knew. You know, he told me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because we talked about what it means to play quarterback in the city. And I said, look, man, I've lived both sides of it.
Hold on. What did he say? Because I talked to him afterwards. He didn't mention anything about this. So he knew how much I thought that he stunk?
He said he couldn't get up in the morning and turn on the radio.
Oh, okay.
All right. And I said, look, I
it's not my
Zach
fault.
Stinks.
All right. It's not my fault.
I said, it's great, and I'm very happy for your daughter. And he goes, oh, I couldn't have picked a better son-in-law. And he really does love Zach, and that's great.
I mean,
and Zach,
Josh Allen, maybe, I guess.
Zach is now down in Miami. But, yeah, I mean.
I can't go for Zach.
Can't go for Zach, no.
No can do. I can't go for Zach.
Can't go for Zach, no.
I think we just got disinvited to that thing we got invited to.
Just so he knows, I didn't ask for any of this right now. I was just saying
how. Me either. Yeah.
I met a giant fan who just happened to be Zach Wilson's dad. And then, of course.
No. Father-in-law.
Then we got into the discussion about, you know, him playing here and how difficult it was for the family and how difficult it was to go to games. And I said, listen, I lived that life. I know, man. For the first year and a half, it was sunshine and rainbows. And for the next year and a half, it was Hurricane Erin.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. I mean, and that's just, unfortunately, I was caught up in the storm that is the New York Jet quarterback position, just like many have been.
Yeah.
So I tried to tell him. I said, look, maybe he's in a good spot. You know, we've seen Geno Smith. We've seen Sam Darnold. We've seen Baker Mayfield. All these guys go through the ringer and then come out the other side a little bit more mature around people that they trust, and they feel better about, you know, who they become as a player, not a person. Nobody ever questioned who Zach Wilson was as a person.
No.
Everybody questioned whether or not he could handle the starting quarterback position.
And he couldn't. I mean, it just the facts bared that out.
Just so you know, I told his father-in-law, I said, look, he's a great kid. If I had the second pick, I would have never drafted a kid from where Zach is from to New York. If I were Denver, maybe. If I were Kansas City, of course. If I were Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, 100% I would have drafted the kid. But I would not want him to be drafted to New York because of where he is from, a small community in Utah. Now, listen, Jackson Dart went to the same high school. And Jackson Dart seems to have a different personality than Zach. I think Zach really tried very hard when he first got here. If you remember, they were going to all the Islander playoff games. He was taking his teammates there. And, you know, he really, really tried. He wanted to be successful.
Well, Jackson Dart also left there, you know, played in the SEC, played a bunch of games. You know, like Zach was in that bubble there the entire time.
Exactly. And plus, he was coming out of the COVID years.
Right.
So, so he was definitely protected before he got here. And then holy hell hit him right in the face. And now he's down in Miami with Mike McDaniel, who I did tell his father-in-law, I said, you know, if they don't get it right down there, you know, I could see Stephen Ross pulling the plug on that team, you know, on that coach. And I would think, and I got to believe, and maybe you would be able to find this for us, that the coach that is most likely to be fired at the end of this season, if the season goes haywire.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be Mike McDaniel.
You'd think that he would be, like, at the top of that list as much as I like him as smart as I think he is as a football coach. That doesn't mean that, you know, he demands the respect from everybody in that building. I know he gets it from his quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, and I think part of Tua's beginning here this year, going after a little bit of Tyreek Hill, was to support his coach that I'm sure Tua loves.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brian Daboll is still the favorite as the first coach to be fired in the NFL at plus 400. And Mike McDaniel plus 500.
All right, so that doesn't really make a lot of sense, because if everybody is, or around here, is overreacting to the Giants and what they've seen thus far, then it doesn't match up with that. That's for sure.
Well, that's sort of exactly what I was saying.
Yeah, but I was like, Julian Edelman and Gronk are not idiots. I mean, they know what the hell they're talking about.
Debatable with Gronk.
Well, at times he plays into that, but
he's also they're friendly with Brian Daboll. I don't know how much they're really watching of the preseason or knowing what's going on. I don't know.
I think Julian pays attention. I know he pays attention. As a matter of fact, now Gronk, that's a whole other story. I mean, like, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. But and I know they're friendly with Brian Daboll. But I do feel like the Giants are a much more competitive team. Like, when I saw them playing against the Jets the other night, you know, I saw a team that looked like it really wants to get this thing straightened out. And they do have young players that are very exciting. And they have a defensive line that's going to put pressure on the opposing quarterback. And, you know, they're playing against the Jets, who have a rookie offense coordinator, Justin Fields on his fourth different offensive system, only really one wide receiver that you worry about in Garrett Wilson. The Jets are going to be like more of a running oriented team, and they're going to try to keep games close, which I think is really going to hurt Justin Fields. But the Giants, on the other hand, you know, they do have a Hall of Fame bound quarterback that's leading the team right now. They also have a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over. And that was their biggest bugaboo the last couple of years. I think they were 1-7 in one score games. And probably had the worst turnover ratio in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, an offense that was barely non-existent for most of the year.
Turnovers, sacks, penalties.
Yeah, just
all
brutal.
That kind of crap.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first two games are so...
And a lack of getting turnovers.
Right, exactly. I mean, the turnover differential was one of the worst in football, if not the worst in football. These first two games are going to tell a story about this season. If they go 0-2 in those first two games and just goodbye, good night, it's all about...
Well, it's how they go 0-2. They go 0-2 34-7.
Yeah, but we're talking about being relevant, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, I think, Jim Fossil went through this when he was the head coach of the Giants. Like, there are a lot of questions about him. Remember, he pushed his chips to the table.
Yeah,
Tom Coughlin's been through this with the player council and all this other crap.
But those guys actually, you know, they succeeded.
But they turned it around because, well, Jim finally got Kerry Collins. And then, of course, Eli Manning grew up and matured. And they had that run in 2007 that basically solidified, you know, his career here. Brian Daboll needs that. He needs that from Jackson Dart, certainly. Not right now, but he definitely needs that from Jackson Dart eventually. But I think they have I'm going to beat this into the ground until he proves me wrong. He's going to keep the game close, Russell Wilson. He's going to throw the ball deep. He may throw an interception here or there. But for the most part, if this defensive line lives up to the expectations that we all have for them, they should be able to get to the fourth quarter in those one-score games. And the difference in those one-score games have got to be Russell Wilson versus Daniel Jones.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media. And use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Yes, and I do think the defense, it's going to be, to me, Dexter Lawrence and Abdul Carter more than Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau. If Dexter Lawrence continues his dominance, and there's no reason to believe that he does not, and Abdul Carter turns into the player that most expect him to be, then yes, this team can be competitive. And those other two guys, if you get anything above average from them, and Burns and Thibodeau, then yeah, you maybe really have
other
something.
Guys, Brian Burns is a monster.
Yeah,
right?
I think he's a little overrated. I mean, last year he was okay. Honestly, he wasn't a world beater last year.
I'll tell you, you'd have to worry about Dexter Lawrence and him, and that was it, really. I mean, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau came on late in the year after he got back from an injury. But look, they're all four there. They all know the expectations. They hear the buzz around them, and I do think that guys like Cam Scataboo and Abdul Carter, and of course Jackson Dart, bring a level of excitement and youthfulness to a team, and they also bring expectations because where they were, they were winners in college.
Yeah, I really do, and I know Giants fans. Every time I see them or on social media, they always give me crap and think that I'm rooting against the Giants, which is the exact opposite. And just because I grew up a Vikings fan and they're both in the NFC doesn't mean anything to me. I want the Giants at this point in my life to be competitive and to be good, to make our jobs more fun, because Mondays in the fall aren't fun. Listen, all you guys bitch year after year after year. So let me just say that for the 50th time. I really want them to have success. I hope you're right. I really do. I hope you're right. I just don't see it. I can't. I cannot sit here before either the Jets or Giants play a regular season game and project either one of those teams to have a good season until I actually see it. I can't go out on a limb and do that anymore.
The coaches and the players have to, you know, play the game in a different way than we talk about it. So in other words, it's one snap, it's one series, it's one quarter, blah, blah, blah. And that's all they have to worry about. So for the Giants, the whole focus is trying to contain Jaden Daniels and trying to keep him in the pocket and stop him from extending plays. And that's why they drafted a guy like Abdul Carter. Mm-hmm. That they want the speed. They need to match the speed. And they got to do it on defense. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, if they can go 1-1 in these first two games, both away,
yeah,
I think that is a success. That would be a success.
Huge.
500 after 2 weeks would be a success. Well, bitch and complain about the loss, whichever one it may be. But if they can win one of these games on the road, that would be huge.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that changes or extends their relevancy for longer than you would even imagine. Because if they lose, they go 0-2. I mean, then you're talking about, you know, another two games that they're going to be major underdogs in. Then, of course, they got New Orleans, who stinks, but it is down there. And then you got Philadelphia 2 out of 3 weeks and have to go to Denver in there. So, I mean, if you're 0-2 coming out of that thing, I mean, it could be like 1-8 before you look up.
I know, but you never know what the other team is experiencing. Like, well, I can look at those logos and I can say, oh, yeah, that's going to be a good team. That's going to be good. I don't know what they're going to look like when the Giants, and then we don't know what the Giants are going to look like when they
get there. You could say that about the Commanders and the Cowboys, some of these other teams. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles have been as consistent as any team in the league.
Well, they're going to have a health. Well, I don't know. Will they have a healthy San Francisco? Will they have, you know, Bo Nix going to, you know, have a sophomore slump like C.J. Stroud did? You know, what is Caleb Williams going to be like?
I mean, you're banking a lot on the opponent being bad. You know, and I know you can't just assume that they're going to be good, but I mean, sometimes you just want to look at a couple of games and be like, you know, you should be favored in that situation, and they're just not going to be.
I understand that. I totally understand looking at the, and that's exactly what, you know, Zach Wilson's father-in-law was saying last night.
About what, the Giants?
About the Giants' schedule. Like I feel like the Giants are a team now. I don't know what's going to happen next year. To me, with what they added this year, I feel like they're on the upswing. I feel like the Patriots are on the upswing. I feel like there are certain teams that are starting to come out of the abyss that they've been in. You know, I think the Jets are still there, and it's going to take a couple of years before they get out of it. But there are teams around the league where you look and you say, okay, who would have thought that Washington would have come out of the abyss of what the hell that franchise went through for the last 15 years?
Well, there was a ton of changes there, though. I mean, so it happened quicker than maybe people thought, but they got the toxic owner out of there. They had the number 2 overall pick in the draft. They got a new head coach who had been the coach of a team that won an NFC championship game. I mean, there was a lot of things that changed there. You know, what you have here with the Giants is, you know, the same regime coming back, all the same coaches coming back, a quarterback that you drafted that you don't expect to start like Jaden Daniels did, and a veteran in Russell Wilson that you're not sure exactly what you're going to get out of it. And I do think that...
I think they know what they're going to get out of Russell Wilson.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
it's
not going to
be flashy. It's not going to be exciting.
Okay, I mean, he's going to be above average, hopefully.
And well, that's really what you're hopefully hoping for. Andrew Thomas is out there week one, and hopefully Malik Nabers is out there week one.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a big difference between the humongous shakeup that happened in Washington as opposed to what's going on with the Giants from last year.
I can't sit here and kill the Giants for keeping Joe Shane and Brian Daigle.
I've
always said we need they and the Jets both need stability. You can't keep changing every 2 years and expecting, you know, new results.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.